The ladylike appearance, combined with her dazzling shooting skill, that won the crowds over so completely. Spectators might stare in disbelief when the tiny, slim, dark-haired Annie skipped on stage. But by the time she made her final curtsy, they were always on their feet, cheering. With a new marriage, a new name, and a new career, Annie's life was good. In 1884, it got even better. She and Frank joined the circus. Chapter 5. Little Sure Shot. A whole world of wonders, greater than the greatest, boasted an 1884 ad for the Sells Brothers Circus. Barnum and Bailey might have been bigger, but only the Sells Brothers had two hippos, a trained elk, a 5-ton three-horned rhinoceros, Miss Maggie Clare, the flying woman, and an entire herd of zebras. It also had the champion rifle shots Butler and Oakley. Annie and Frank quit the adults-only world of vaudeville. They wanted to be in the circus, which offered wholesome family entertainment. So they signed 40-week contracts and arranged to meet up with the Sells Brothers in April. A few weeks before joining the circus, Annie and Frank had been appearing at a vaudeville theater in St. Paul, Minnesota. Annie's performance that night went as it usually did. She skipped on stage, shot corks out of bottles, snuffed candles by shooting out their flames, and shot off the burning end of a cigarette from Frank's mouth. The audience clapped and cheered and left the theater. But one man was so impressed with Annie's shooting that he demanded to meet her right away. He was Sitting Bull, the great Sioux chief, who was famous for defeating General George Armstrong Custer at Little Bighorn in 1876. Now it was 1884, and the worst of the government's battles with the Indian tribes were over. Sitting Bull was technically a prisoner of war. He was also a famed leader and a powerful striking figure. He had been invited to the theater that night by a city official. But it was not until Annie started shooting that Sitting Bull paid any attention to the show. Annie agreed to meet Sitting Bull the next day. After exchanging photographs, the chief presented Annie with many gifts. He even gave her the moccasins he had worn when he fought Custer. He told Annie of the daughter he had lost after the Battle of Little Bighorn and declared that Annie could replace her. If Annie came to his territory, he said, she would be welcomed as a princess. Annie was surprised and flattered. The old man was so pleased with me, she wrote, he insisted upon adopting me, and I was then and there christened Watanya Cecilia, or Little Sure Shot. Annie liked her new name. It was in keeping with the way the public saw her, as a woman of the West, even though she had never been west of Kansas. She already wore a Western-style hat with a silver star. Now her beautiful costumes began to take on a Western flavor also. She added fringe, embroidered flowers, and beadwork. Like most Westerners, Annie knew how to ride, but now she taught herself how to shoot from horseback. Riding both side saddle and astride, she made shooting from a horse look as easy as the rest of her act. At her prompting, the Sells Brothers program referred to Butler and Oakley as the Great Far West Rifle Shots. Annie made her entrance on horseback, blowing kisses and smiling. Then she hit every target that Frank released, at a gallop. The crowds were dazzled. Everyone knew that cowboys and Indians out on the Western Plains could shoot like that, but a woman? Annie's showmanship was becoming as skillful as her shooting. In her private life, she was still a modest, soft-spoken Ohio native, the daughter of Quakers. On stage, she was a hard-riding, fast-shooting cowgirl in petticoats, and she was a big hit. In 1885, she and Frank moved on from the Sells Brothers Circus. That spring, they joined the grandest traveling spectacle of the century, Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show. Chapter 6. Welcome to the Wild West. William F. Cody, known as Buffalo Bill, was a tall, imposing man with shoulder-length hair. As a young man, he had been a Pony Express rider, an Army Scout, and a stagecoach driver. Then the Kansas Pacific Railroad hired him to supply buffalo meat to its track workers. He killed more than 4,000 buffalo in 8 months, and from that time on, he was called Buffalo Bill. Luckily for the buffalo, Bill decided his good looks and outgoing personality belonged on the stage. He headed east, first to Chicago, and then to New York, and appeared in many plays about the western frontier. It was 10 years before he found his true calling as a producer. Bill saw that audiences all over America were curious about the Wild West, so he designed a show, part rodeo, part circus, part theater, that would give them a taste of it. The show was advertised as a visit to the Wild West in 3 hours, and it kept its promise. With a huge cast of American cowboys, Mexican cowboys, called vaqueros, Indians, and hundreds of animals, including horses, goats, and elk, it was a fast, noisy, thrilling mix of shooting, roping, lariat tricks, music, and showy horsemanship. Most exciting of all were the reenactments of historic frontier events. Bill made sure they were authentic, down to the last detail. A maestro in buckskin, he directed the cast, designed the costumes, and staged the action for maximum effect. Crowds could see real Pony Express riders changing horses in mid-gallop. They could see fierce outlaws ambushing the famous Deadwood coach. They could see Pawnee and Sioux Indians attacking and burning settlers' cabins, and then shout with relief when Buffalo Bill and his fearless posse came to the rescue with guns blazing. Everyone who saw it agreed that the Wild West Show was an unforgettable experience, well worth